brought to you by Penguin.
Go as a River by Shelley Reed. Read by Cynthia Farrell. For Richard and Catherine, my parents and guiding lights. For Avery and Owen, my inspiration. And for Eric, my always. At a certain point, you say to the woods, to the sea, to the mountains, the world, "Now I am ready." Annie Dillard. Prologue. Imagine what lingers on the black bottom of a lake. Debris, rivered in or tossed from boats, grows shaggy and soft. Pouty fish swim their strange lives, far from the hook, in inseparable breath and motion. Imagine patches of lakeweed dancing like lithe, unobserved women. Stand on the edge of a lake, the low waves gulping at your shoes, and imagine how close you are to a world as silent and alien as the moon, out of reach of light and heat and sound. My home is at the bottom of a lake. Our farm lies there, mud-bound, its remnants indistinguishable from boat wreckage. Sleek trout troll the remains of my bedroom and the parlor where we sat as a family on Sundays. Barns and troughs rot. Tangled barbed wire rusts. The once fertile land marinates in idleness. A history book version of the creation of Blue Mesa Reservoir might portray the project as heroic, part of the grand vision to carry precious water from the Colorado River's tributaries to the arid Southwest. Good intentions may have plugged the once wild Gunnison River and forced it to be a lake. But I know another story. I used to stand knee-deep in this section of the Gunnison when it still rushed fast and frothy through the valley of my birth, the vast and lonely Big Blue Wilderness rising above it. I knew the town of Iola when it woke each morning to fragrant breakfasts and bustling farms and ranches, how the sunrise illuminated the east side of Maine, then inched uptown, across the train tracks and schoolyard, to ignite the tiny church's one round red and blue stained glass window. I timed my life by the hollow whistle of the 922, the 205, the 547. I knew all the shortcuts and townsfolk and the oldest gnarled tree consistently producing the sweetest peaches in my family's orchard. And I knew, perhaps more than most, the sadness of this place. Good intentions relocated the Iola graveyard high on a hill, each of my family's headstones hopefully matched with their appropriate remains, where it still sits behind a white iron fence, bent and twisted from the weight of snow. Good intentions otherwise drowned the entirety of Iola, Colorado. Imagine a town silent, forgotten, decomposing at the bottom of a lake that once was a river. If this makes you wonder whether the joys and pain of a place wash away as the floodwaters rise and swallow, I can tell you they do not. The landscapes of our youths create us, and we carry them within us, storied by all they gave and stole in who we become. Part 1, 1948 to 1949. 1. 1948. He wasn't much to look at. Not at first, anyway.
"Pardon,"
the young man said, a grimy thumb and forefinger tugging at the brim of his tattered red ball cap.
"This the way to the flop?"
As simple as that. This
sample complete. Ready to continue?